This Friday is Remembrance Day, November 11th, and in the past, one of the things that we've done is the service has been at the Cenotaph, and then we've opened our building up for anybody that wants to come afterwards for hot chocolate and cookies, and so that's going to happen again this Friday. So if you're part of both going to the service and want to be part of what's happening here, you're welcome to come. The service at the Cenotaph starts at 11, and so it's after that happens there. This will happen directly after that. This morning, we're just going to start by just being quiet for a second and inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. God, we thank you for your presence here. You know all that's going on in our hearts and lives. And we pray that you would come and meet us, that you would come and fill us with yourself. In adoration in Psalm 34, 1-3, I'll praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I'll boast only in the Lord. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Quietly where we are right now, let us express our adoration to God for his greatness. He loves to hear his children.
Confession, Psalm 34, 11-14. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I'll teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Have we been people of peace this week? At our jobs, in our relationships, in our homes, with our parents, children, spouses? Confess these sins to God. Let us turn away from evil and do good. Thanksgiving, Psalm 34, 8-9. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you as godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. What joys and abundant goodness have you experienced this week? Thank God for these instances, and let us take a few moments to thank God for giving us all we need. Thank you, God, for our daily bread. Thank you for our warm beds at night. Supplication, Psalm 34, 4-6. I prayed the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. What fears and troubles you today? Is it your health? Are you having difficulty at work? Is there someone else who's in need that you're troubled over? Let us ask our God who listens to free us, to save us, to help us. Pray for Evelyn, Leona, Elaine, for Will and Martha, for Marge and Ben, Shannon and Cam, for Gloria and Jerry, for Kaylin, for Kelly and James' family, for Ray and Rowena, for Matthew and Trina, for Neville, Marcia, Michelle, for Lisa's family. And then some of the places around the world. Sri Lanka, Sudan, Switzerland, Iran, and Ukraine. We pray for the protection of people's lives. For Canada, United States, God, we pray for healing for our land. And then all the unspoken requests, the things that are greater than us, the things that would want to crush us. We give these to you, our good and great God. You are our deliverer. You are our rescuer. You are our healer. As a community of Jesus followers that's growing together in faith, hope, and love, Let us pray together as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing O Canada, and then right after that, we're going to have this morning scripture reading.
O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard.
Sorry, I can't sing that high.
I'm a little shorter than Dave. Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as his workers slept, his enemy came and planted among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn."
Among the
Before I start my message, we're going to pray for the military. God, we thank you for those who serve our country in protecting it and keeping it safe. We think of those who are serving presently, for those who had served and now have gone into a new life or retired, and for those who have given their lives. We just recognize that freedom has come at a great price, and so we just want to acknowledge those who have served in this area and pray for your favor and blessing on their lives. Amen. Minister was preparing for his message, and his little boy was watching him. And he said, "Dad, how do you know what to write down or what to speak?" And the minister said, "Well, God tells me." And the little boy said, "Oh, well, then why do you keep crossing things out?" What happens when we're not getting the results we expect from God? Let's pray. In Isaiah 55:8, the Lord says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine." God, we want every part of our lives to be in tune with yours. So we ask you to come lead and direct our lives so our ways become like your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Malachi 3, 13 to 18. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie's got it up on the screen and you can follow it. Malachi 3, starting in verse 13. "You have spoken harsh words against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, 'How have we spoken against you?' You have said, 'It's vain to serve the Lord. What do we profit by keeping his commands or by going about as mourners before the Lord of hosts?' Now we count the arrogant happy. Evildoers not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape. Then those who revered the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord took note and listened, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who revered the Lord and thought on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act, and I will spare them as parents spare their children who serve them. Then once more you shall see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. After returning from exile and resettling Jerusalem for the last 100 years, not much has changed concerning the people of God. Although they're grateful to be back in their homelands and have rebuilt the temple, things are not going very well. Many times we can think if we're doing the right actions, surely we will get the end results we're looking for. If we plant seeds in the springtime, we expect a harvest in the fall. If we deliver newspapers or flyers door to door, we expect to get paid by the end of the month. If we collect wood and split it in the summer, we hope to have a warm fire when it gets cold out. But what the people of Israel are hoping for is not happening. There's a disconnect from their apparent actions and their attitude and intent of heart. We can all find ourselves in these situations. We're assigned homework, but instead of getting down to business, we doodle on the page and just write down any answer that comes into our heads, no matter if the topic relates or not. We're asked to do a job at work, and we don't really want to do it, so we do it poorly, hoping no one will ask us again. A parent, a spouse, can request help, which is time-sensitive, and we choose to show up late. Although the Israelites claim complete devotion to the one true God, they're doing unethical and immoral things. They're taking advantage of the defenseless in the community, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners. They're bringing the sick and lame animals to the temple as an offering instead of bringing their best. They're divorcing their wives for no good reason and marrying foreign wives, which follow false gods, leading them into adultery. Sometimes the difference from acknowledging God and complete surrender to Him is night and day. There's a wide gap between calling ourselves Christians and actually being Christ followers who are actively pursuing and conforming to be Christ-like. Israel's in trouble, and they don't even know it. The name Malachi means messenger. God has sent His representative to draw His people back to Himself, back into a right relationship. Today we'll look at the sixth dispute found in this minor prophet book. The pattern is that God has made a claim against His people. The people will disagree or shrug in disbelief. And then the Lord will bring the situation into complete clarity, revealing their corruption. Matthew 3:13. "You have spoken harsh words against me," says the Lord. "Yet you say, how have we spoken against you?" These so-called God followers are talking behind God's back, gossiping that He cannot be trusted to fulfill His part of the bargain, or covenant, if you will. The people of Israel are mad that things are not going better for them. And in their minds, it's God's job to smooth out the rough pathway. When hard things happen to you, has it made you wonder about God's goodness or whether He can be trusted? Our kids get sick or rebel. They're downsizing at work, and we're the one they let go. The relationship we were investing in is spoiled. There are more expenses than money to pay them. I had 3 accidents, with 2 being rollovers in a year and a half. I wondered if it was still safe to drive. We are fragile creatures. It doesn't take much to shatter us mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Malachi 3:14. "You have said it's vain to serve God. What do we profit by keeping His commands or by going about as mourners before the Lord of hosts?" These people are going through the religious motions, showing up when they're supposed to and acting in the acceptable way. In the Old Testament, people often wore sackcloth and put ashes on their heads to reveal their brokenness. But none of these outward actions seems to be improving their situation. Malachi 3:15. "Now we count the arrogant happy. Evildoers not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape," or He lets them off the hook. This is dripping with sarcasm. The holy God, who is righteous and just by His very nature, is apparently not living up to honoring His own name. God is being accused of no longer being in the God business. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus says, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Psalm 1:6, for it says, "The Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." Then in Psalm 146:7, "He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners." So what gives here? Has God given up on His good ways, or is there more to the story? Does it no longer matter that the poor are being pounded into the ground? That there's no difference between the proud and arrogant and the humble and broken with a contrite spirit? Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be irritated with somebody else's driving? How easy it is to be hurt by another person's words or feel misrepresented or misunderstood by something we said or did. We get so upset at how others have hurt us in some way. But usually, we're pretty soft on ourselves when we hurt others. Israel is being soft on themselves and not remembering a lot of their own poor behavior. God's ways have not changed, but Israel's trying to twist and manipulate what is true about themselves and what is false. They are not the victim, nor are they humble, nor are they innocent. The majority are pandering to their own whims. But there's another group of people, a smaller group, that are responding in a different way. Malachi 3:16. Then those who revered or honored the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord took note and listened, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who revered the Lord and thought of his name. Wow! This is a refreshing change. People actually care more about God and his ways than their own wants and interests. A scroll of remembrance that declares the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Do you have a book like this at home? A prayer book where you write the date of your prayer and then leave a space to put a date when it was answered? Or a journal that describes the movements of God in your daily life from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year? These are so good at reminding us of God's faithfulness in the past, which it gives us hope going into the future. What is amazing is that it's God who's listening to the book of remembrance of those who honored him. Could you imagine that? That there could be a book as you go through your life of things of loving God and loving others. And somebody's recording it. Recording it so it can be read back to God about the goodness, his goodness in your life, his goodness in my life. Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession. On the day when I act, I'll spare them as parents spare their children who serve them. The intent here, a treasured possession, a rare possession that the Lord chooses among all the others. We are this possession. We are this treasure. In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession. As a result, you could show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God completely loves us and adopts us into his family. He does not treat us as slaves or servants, but his very own sons and daughters. We who love God the Father do not need to fear anything on Judgment Day. Malachi 3:18. Then once more you shall see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one that does not. We deserve all the punishment coming our way, but because of Jesus, we instead experience pity, compassion, mercy, and grace. The people of God need to learn to actually walk the talk. It is so easy to say one thing with our mouth, our words, but do something completely opposite in our hearts and our minds. Francis Fillon, he was the court preacher for King Louis XIV of France in the 17th century. One Sunday when the king came with his servants to the church, the big church, nobody was there but the king and those who came with him. King Louis demanded and said, what does this mean? The church was normally packed. Fillon said, I published that you would not come to church today in order that your majesty might see who serves God in truth and who's here to flatter the king. Is it really worth serving God? This is Israel's question. Are we really getting out what we had hoped for? Are we jumping through all the religious hoops for nothing? Is this a futile endeavor? The problem is that it's not God who's acted unfaithful or has created this distance or dilemma. It's the people of Israel. In Malachi 3:14, they declare they're keeping God's commands when in fact we know they aren't. Taking advantage of the poor, the defenseless, and the society for their own benefit. Divorcing their wives with no just cause. Marrying foreign women that are leading them to worship false idols. Israel is in such a deception that they're no longer able to discern the difference between what is righteous, right living, and what is wrong and wickedness. They have perverted God's perspective of right and wrong. So there's a great gap in relationship between God and his people because they've chosen other over him. And then they are shocked that they no longer have the Almighty's favor. David Baker has said, without a correct horizontal relationship with one's fellow humans, an equal standing with others, a vertical relationship with God is impossible. I'll say that again, and I say this to say this. If we don't think our relationships with one another matter, with our friends, with our family, with our relatives, with those we work with those we go to school with those we're in church with, we've missed it. Without a correct horizontal relationship with each other, a vertical relationship with God is impossible. We can fool ourselves, talk ourselves into the idea that whatever thought bounces into our head must be right. It does not matter how immoral, unethical, selfish, or greedy we can become. We can deceive ourselves into thinking wrong is right and right is wrong. The wonderful thing about having God's presence and the Holy Spirit in our lives is that he cuts right through all the crap, all the things we attempt to feed him. Jesus is no lucky charm that we pull out for desperate situations. He knows us like no other and wants to be in constant relationship with us in every breath of our existence. And we will not experience his blessing over us when we do our own thing, when we walk away from him, from under his protective cover. God is not withholding himself from us. Rather, we're reaping what we are sowing. Do not be short-sighted and fooled by those who seem to have no regret and no regard for God, and yet they seem to succeed. This will be short-lived. How many people have we seen at the top of the world until they weren't anymore? Tiger Woods, Johnny Depp, Jeffrey Epstein, Martha Stewart, the list goes on and on. We can add them by the day. We truly do reap what we sow, and no one can be exempt from its consequence or its blessing. Would any you work with or go to school with or live in the same neighborhood with have any idea that you're a follower of Jesus? And if they do know, do they want what you have or are they repelled by us? It is in Christ alone that we're fully forgiven and freed, and we can live this out for the world to see. If you want to win with God, you have to go all in. Halfway never works. It won't accomplish anything, and you'll be completely frustrated. You've heard people say at times, I tried Christianity, or I tried Jesus and it didn't work. If you're only given a slice, if you're only giving a sliver, if you're only giving half or three quarters, it'll never work. It's an all or nothing situation. Jesus is calling each one of us today, and he's asking for everything. Are you in or are you out? Even when things are very hard and not going the way that we had hoped, He asks us to stay trusting in a God who's delivered us in the past, that he will again deliver us in the future. Let's pray. Jesus, just like the rich young ruler had to make a decision, we find ourselves at a similar crossroads. We know that you are good and love us, so we want to trust you with all that we have and all that we are. Speak to our hearts and minds if there's any wicked way in us. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Free us. For any situation where we've been hurt and we've been slow or hard to find the way to forgiveness, Jesus, please help us move toward forgiving others. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you. My everything, and I will adore you.
come to the Lord's table this morning, all are welcome. I'm just going to give you a little instruction so you have some idea of how this works. What we're going to do at some point, I'll invite you to come up, and the bread and the juice will be there. We also have gluten-free bread in the smaller containers if you use gluten-free bread. So I'll take it, we'll sit down, and then we'll partake of it together as a community. This morning, we focus on our remembrance of Christ, this symbolic meal before us. It's a sign of his presence here, not his absence. In Jesus' day, the staple of people's food on any given day, if you came home from school or home from work, there would at least be bread in your house and juice or wine. That would be the staple food if there was nothing else. They hadn't invented macaroni yet. And so this is what the people would eat. In that same way, Jesus is our spiritual staple. It's his life, death, ascension, present-day reign that has changed the whole dynamic of our life, of our history, and our destiny. And so this morning we come to remember the work that he has begun in us, the work that he's doing in us, and the work that he will do going forward. So I encourage you to come. There's a station on this side and station on this side to come and get the bread and the juice. The Lord Jesus, that night he's betrayed, he broke the bread and said, gave thanks for it. We're going to do the same thing as we partake the bread together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the life that you pour into us every day. Every breath is a gift from you. We thank you for your broken body that has given us life. Amen. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the blood of the covenant. Whoever drinks it does it in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again. And we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you that it's brought the forgiveness of sin toward you and toward everyone else around us. And so, God, I pray today that we'd be able to walk fully in the freedom that you want to give to each of us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're on our first Sunday of the month, normally is our communion Sunday. We also take a benevolent offering. And so those who are going to be involved in taking that up would pass the baskets. We'll do that. As they do that, I'll give one other explanation. When you go out today, you'll find different baskets at the door that you can put your cups and pieces of paper in when you leave today. Let's take that offering now. I have a couple announcements. The benediction, we'll sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed. This week, we have different groups running throughout the week. Wednesday night is youth from 7 to 8:30 here. And then on Friday, the service at the Cenotaph will start at 11 in the morning, and then afterwards, we'll have hot chocolate and cookies and everything else here. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In all the uncertainty in our lives, he is the one stable thing that we can always trust. Amen.
Let's stand for this last one.
Goodness, find what you're looking for. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world.
Have an excellent week, you guys.
Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, for God so loved the world.